It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Have you ever stopped to think what a privilege it is to be able to study God's Word? We look around us and we see so many people throughout the world today who they just don't have this opportunity. We take our privilege for granted of studying, being able to study God's Word. Well, let's take time to pray for those individuals who do not have the privilege at looking at God's Word. You know, some people are hiding out today, studying and reading and praying and talking to the Lord, and some are putting their lives on the line saying they are Christians. Well, what a privilege it is, and what we have in this country we take for granted. We'd better quit taking it for granted. We need to pray that God would have His way in the hearts of those people who are leading this country. May they lead us in the paths of righteousness. And those paths of righteousness come only through God, only through Jesus Christ. Well, today we're going to pick up our study in the book of Romans, and we're going to start with Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. What I want you to look at today and understand is that to know the law of God or not to know the law of God does not excuse a person from knowing the God of the law. There is no excuse. In verse 16 of Romans chapter 2, it says, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel." Well, in that day, verse 5 speaks of the day. It says, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." Well, the principle of judgment, number 11, now we've been going through this, is number 11. As we look at it here, there is nothing hidden or kept secret from the judge. Remember, we've already seen that God knows everything. And verse 16 is actually continued from verse 12, where it says, "For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law." This is judgment. Well, secondly, I would have you to notice that the day when God will judge the secrets of men, and it talks about there, where it mentions this, is a final day of judgment for the ungodly. It's also described in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. It says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Now, we've read that before. Well, number 3, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men. These are the hidden things. Man tries to hide his sin, but God sees everything. And we see there that secrets will be revealed. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful." And we've read this before, and you've read it many times. The word of God's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Notice verse 13. "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Remember, when Adam sinned, he hid himself from God in the garden. God knew where he was, though, but Adam was hiding because of sin. So many people today are hiding because of sin. They think they're hiding from God, but God knows where they are, and God knows where you are today. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 26, it says, Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. See, God knows everything. Well, notice the principle of judgment number 12 here. Jesus Christ will be the final judge before whom all men shall stand. And we've seen this before. Judged by whom? Verse 16 says, "By Jesus Christ, the one." Well, man and woman have refused Jesus down through the ages. The final judge of men will be none other than Jesus Christ himself. God the Father has committed all judgment to his Son, just as he is the judge. He is also the one who wants to save those people who are without him today, those people who need to ask him into their hearts. John chapter 5 and verse 22 says, "For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." Of course, that's Jesus Christ. John 5:27 says, "And hath given him," that's Jesus Christ, "authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." Jesus Christ, the Savior, will be the judge. Secondly, about this verse, Paul says, "Judged according to my gospel." Well, the gospel which Paul preached included the judgment of God. The gospel is not presented correctly if nothing is said about the judgment of God. We also say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Well, but what about those people who do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? What happens to them? Well, the Bible says that Jesus is going to say to those folks one day, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you." And they're cast into the lake of fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. That's sad. Notice verse 17 of Romans chapter 2 now. "Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God." Well, now here, Paul is dealing with the Jew, or in other words, the religious man. Paul's purpose in the early chapters of Romans is to show that all men are condemned and in need of a Savior. Well, you can see Romans chapter 3 and verse 9, verse 19 and verse 23. And in fact, let's read those verses right now. It's important. Romans chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin." There's no one left out. Romans chapter 3, verse 19 says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." And, of course, Romans 3, 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Well, as we look in verse 17 of this section of Scripture in Romans, Paul will demonstrate that the religious Jew is condemned. Religious. Well, note this, that religious people are often self-righteous, and generally it is very difficult to convince them that they are condemned and guilty before God. Well, the third thing about this verse is that the key word, as we see in verses following, is the law. That's the key word. The Jews, in contrast to the Gentiles, possess God's written law. And since the Jews are accountable for what they have been given, the Jews will be judged by this law. Romans chapter 2 and verse 12 says, "For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law." Then Paul already, he told them it's not enough just to possess the law and hear the law, but they are to be doers of the law. According to Romans chapter 2 and verse 13, note this verse in verse 17, called a Jew. These people took great pride in the fact that they were children of Abraham. Now you can see this in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 9 and John chapter 8 verse 33 and verse 39. Well, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." John chapter 8 and verse 33 says, "They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" They're asking the question, how can you say you shall be made free? Well, Jesus says, "Come unto me." He says, "I will set you free." And this offended the Jews, because when you get down to it, the Jew actually thought that they were better than God. There are so many people today who are not even Jews who think they are better than God. Can you imagine that? Well, let me clue you in on something. God is God. You do not make fun of God, and you do not exalt yourself above God and get away with it. Judgment is coming. Paul goes on to say in this verse, "Restest in the law." Relying on the law, resting comfortably, well, that's not good enough. Paul's job in this section is to disturb their rest. He's going to pull the comfortable bed out from under them. Now notice number 6 here that they boasted. "Since we are Jews," they're saying, "we're better than everyone else." This was their attitude. "We're God's chosen people." Well, the boast of, they're saying, "We worship the one and only true God, whereas all the other nations worship false gods and idols." Well, they rested upon that. But some seem to think that being a Jew would guarantee them a place in heaven. But it's obvious from God's word that being a Jew does not make a person just before God. Being a Jew externally is one thing, being a Jew physically and racially, but being a true Jew spiritually and internally is something else entirely. Well, Romans chapter 2 and verse 18 says, "And knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law." Well, notice the word "and" first. Notice "and" first, "and knowest his will." It's one thing to know God's will, but it's quite another thing to do God's will. Well, doing God's word is equivalent to doing God's will. The Jews had God's word, and thus they knew his will. And in verses like Luke chapter 8 and verse 21 and Matthew chapter 12 and verse 50, it's where we see that doing God's word is equivalent to doing God's will. Well, notice secondly about verse 18, approves the things that are more excellent or superior, it says there, knowest his will. It is one thing to know what is right, and it is another thing to do what is right. The Jews had a keen sense of moral discernment. They could clearly discern what was right and what was wrong. Now note this, that believers need to have good discernment. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, it says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." Well, the day of Christ. That means the Christian needs to make right discernment. Live right. Do what God wants you to do. Do what is right. And number 3, and might I say, you do right not because you need to get saved again, because you are saved. Well, the day of Christ. Well, notice number 3 about this verse, being instructed or taught out of the law. Having God's holy law does not make a person holy. Just because you read the Bible doesn't make you saved and on your way to heaven. Number 4, having God's righteousness and his righteous commandments does not make a person righteous. The key question in the book of Romans is this: how can a person be righteous before a holy God? Well, it's not by works of the law, according to Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. And we'll pick up with that next time when we're together studying God's word.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.